It was mentioned that Christmas carols just are chock full of important scripture and doctrine. So fantastic. Amen. Let's everybody look. Beautiful, beautiful child. Now that you've done that, I'd rather you listen, but you can look over there. And really, somebody just said the children are the next generation. They're the ones that hopefully we can pass along to them a beautiful heritage, a heritage that's in the Lord, right? Being able to have a life that is going to be better than what ours is. Isn't that what every parent wants for their child, is for something to be better?
You know, I was writing down some of the things that were in the songs, and
I think that first song that Steve had asked for really just kind of set a good tone. You know, it's really about going back to a first love, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just want you. Just want you. And the Lord should be at the center of all the things that we talk about in the way our life is lived and how we integrate ourselves into the society that God has placed us in, and all of these things all work together, hopefully, so that this next generation has something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
You all agree with that? last
week was an Advent message, a little different kind of an Advent message, but
one of the things that was talked about was the fact that Advent, which means coming, is we know that there's two comings that the Lord is going to have. He's already come once. We're in between, in that in between time right now until His second coming. He came initially to bring people to a salvation, bring people out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of His Son, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think we understand that, and it's important for us to understand that. And we looked in 2 Peter, and in 2 Peter it says that because of His coming, what kind of people ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness?
Yeah.
And so we find that this whole concept of the coming of the Lord, the advent of the Lord, and we celebrate it at the Christmas time, His first coming. But like I mentioned last week, this is really a reflection of looking forward to that time of His second coming. And when He comes again, He's coming as the King. And you know, we have all those songs about let the earth receive her King. Well, you know, it's happened that there's that inward coming. The scripture says that the kingdom of God does not come with observation, because it comes within us, and that was the first aspect of the coming of the Lord. He had to die on the cross for the sins of the world, to open up the way for the Holy Spirit now to reside in those who did believe in Him. And then we're in this process right now until He comes back to take His place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we now have an opportunity to understand what that kingdom is really like. And boy, you know,
fall on your that phrase in O Holy Night, fall on your knee. You know, there's not one single one of us here that when Jesus appears in all his glory, every single one of us are going to fall on our knees. Nobody's going to be proud. Nobody's going to be saying, I deserve to be with you. It's like part of that song, you know. He doesn't owe us anything. We owe him everything, don't we? And that's the kind of heart that we want to have, especially at this time when we're remembering his first coming, which should remind us that, hey, there's a second one coming, and he's not coming to be crucified on a cross. He's coming as a victorious king, isn't he?
Yes.
And that's a great thing, and I know this is what I'm looking forward to. I think hopefully you feel the same way. At some point in time, God's going to end this world, this age, and there's going to be something new that's going to happen, and it's going to be beautiful, isn't it? And so this is what
last week's message was about. Well, I wanted to mention. I think I probably touched on it last week.
Have you noticed that? Until Jesus comes back, that there is a resistance to Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
That there's a resistance to him being the king. A full-blown resistance against the one who died on the cross for the sins of the world. In all kinds of ways, there has been resistance against him, and antagonism, and we know where it comes from. And the enemy, Satan, means adversary. He is our adversary. Satan wants to create his kingdom,
right?
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
He wants to create his own kingdom. And though this is kind of a negative side of something, this, I think, is going to help us to really understand something here. You know, we have all kinds of people that are sick. That prayer time at the beginning, I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a tremendous amount. You know what the cause of a lot of that is? It's the work of Satan, who looks all throughout the earth and tries to find people he can devour, destroy them, work that spirit of sickness and of depression and all the bad evil things that can happen in the world. He's right there, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
This is what he does. He robs, he kills, he destroys. And he, working in the spirit realm during this period of time, there's going to come a time where there's going to be an actual physical kingdom of darkness that is going to dominate this world. There is the Lord's kingdom, and that right now, that kingdom is within us. And the enemy does not like that. Does he? Because our allegiance isn't to him. Our allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants the people of this world to come to him. Now, if he can, since he doesn't have our souls forever, you know, he's going to try to find ways to get us to be neutralized.
Right.
He, like has been said previously, he looks to distract us, to get us looking in the wrong direction about life and things. This is what he does. He lies to you and I. And he's darn good at it, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about this, and we'll get to a positive place. Okay, so but I want you to realize, because you know we have all this love and all this wonderful things that God has provided for us. And we also have to realize that we do have this enemy, and I think we know this. And he's not wanting us to have any. He doesn't want us to have joy. Doesn't want us to have peace. Doesn't want us let down our guard so that we can actually really love one another the way God wants us to love one another. He wants to put up the walls. He wants to find ways to harm us, hurt us, divide us. This is what he does. Mm-hmm. And we can't be naive about that. Oh, no, everything's fine because I have Jesus. Well, there's an aspect of truth to that, but there's also the aspect that if you don't realize, if you don't recognize what's going on in the world, what's going on inside your own brain, let's start there. Right? The way he works.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. You want to say something?
Well, I'm just reminding me of your knees this week.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned that last week, I think.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Did it me?
That's what it was. I said it to a few people. Yeah, I woke up one day. That's good. I was going into Walmart, and just as I was getting to the doors, all of a sudden, my knees felt like they weighed 5 pounds each. And I felt heavy and like there was all kinds of water on my knees and nothing was wrong with them. But they hurt. And every time I took a step, oh man, what's going on here? And so I'm walking in the door and you know how you open up to, oh gee whiz, you know, I wonder what I got here. I'm just getting old and all these things go into your mind. And I said, no, there's no reason for this. And I said, Lord, I bind this in the name of Jesus. And so I walked in through the, that doesn't always happen, but I walked in through there and I'm doing stuff and my knees were heavy and by the time I got to the checkout, I noticed that I didn't feel that anymore. You know, I think that the enemy tries to say things and do things to us. He has access to our bodies, right? Do you remember what happened to Job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the enemy who struck Job with boils.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It was the enemy. So he has some kind of a power that he can touch people in their bodies.
When God grants it to them.
Yes.
He gave
of course.
Them, allowed them to do that.
That's right. Yeah. But there's that kind of thing. And you know, if I would open up to certain things, then I'm letting my body know that I got this problem. We have to fight against that, don't we? That was where I wanted to go. But anyway. But these things happen, and the enemy does these things. I want you to open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to go there first. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, while you're getting there, in that 2 Peter scripture that I had gone to last week, and I've already referred to, I talked about how we have a holy conduct and godliness. And the second part of that says that we should be vigilantly preparing for his coming. So I want to talk about that. Because it's related to that particular thing here. The enemy is resisting God, us. I want to say to you that we need to be very much on guard, that we need to be sure that we're resisting
the devil.
Yes.
Resisting.
Yeah. Hard.
The devil. If he's pressing up on me, all right, like I'm pressing here, all right, what does Elaine have to do in order
to push back,
otherwise I'm going to overwhelm, I'm going to push her over. Now think about that. We're talking in the spirit realm, when there's a push on you, whether it's coming at your mind and head and the way you're thinking and your emotions or whatever it might be, there needs to be a resistance to that and a pushback.
Yes.
I wonder why it is that the time of Christmas, during this holiday time, there's so much more suicides and depressions. And why is that going on? Because the enemy wants to rob and kill and destroy. And here we have the King of Heaven coming, that was born into the world, right? This King of Heaven, and we sing these praises that, you know, that he's been born and in Bethlehem and all of that. And the enemy, as I've said before, he doesn't like that he's not the king. He has a little bit of power in this world, and he wants it all. And it's his kingdom he wants to establish. Right? He can't get us for eternity, but maybe he can get us to not be pushing against those things where he tries to lure us into temptations. That's living in his kingdom, isn't it? Is it not?
Yes.
Think about that. He's looking for whatever way he can. He can't get us fully, but he's going to try to get us somehow. Whatever way he can. And it's important for us that we be people that resist. Lots of people are depressed at this time of the year. We should all be tremendously joyful because of him who was born into this world and died for the sins of the world and gave us of his Holy Spirit and has a kingdom that is beyond what we can ask or think out in the future for us. Mm-hmm. With a great time. We should be tremendously happy. And even Christians aren't.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Because there's so many things that happen in this life. And the enemy's there to try to bring you and I down at any time that he can. Though he doesn't have us forever, he's still going to try to get you and I. And we've got to be people that continually get back into the Lord's presence, remind ourselves that we have the Lord as the Savior and King of our life, that with him we can get back up when we stumble, and he forgives us when we confess our sins. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
Man, oh man, oh man. There's two kingdoms in this world. And you know, the enemy is angry.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have everybody. Do you see this in the world today?
Yeah.
Anger. Man. The scripture says in Psalm 2, I'm not going to turn to it, but in Psalm 2 it says that the kings of this world gather together and come against the Lord and his Messiah. They don't want to be under the rulership of Jesus. They don't want to be under the kingdom of God. They want to rule their own lives. They are looking to create their own kingdom. And believe me, this filters down into us little peons who don't care about having political power or power over people. It comes down to us, because the enemy's always going to look for anybody, whether they're looking for power or not, to find ways to take us out of that kingdom of his Son, where there's joy and peace and love and every good thing. So let me tell you, you and I need to recognize what is true and what isn't. Because the enemy is a deceiver and a liar. So we better know the truth. You know, if we don't know what the truth is, how are we going to... If we can't recognize what's true and what isn't true, how are we going to be able to resist evil if we don't know what is evil?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you know everything that's in this world that's evil, that is going in the direction of this evil kingdom? Do you think that you do? I don't think anybody does. But it's important for us to know. The scripture says that people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to bring us down through some things here. All right, so you have 1 Timothy chapter 4? You all there? Okay. Verse 1 says this. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. What's that mean, to speak expressly?
Very clearly.
Very clearly. It's with a great emphasis. To expressly say something, you're saying it clearly, and to me, when I think of this, I think of emotion, intensity. It's expressly being said. The Spirit of God is saying with intensity and very clearly. He says this: in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I wonder if anybody here, doctrines of devils? If you don't know what they are, how are you going to resist it? Right? Seducing spirits? Now, we don't want to get into the long definition, but what's it mean to seduce?
Tempt,
lure,
deceive.
It's a deception, isn't it? It's a deception to seduce somebody. You're doing things that might appeal to them, that sound good, and those seducing spirits bring you to a place where you step away from the Lord. Yeah?
Yeah.
Somebody, give me an example. What do you think would be a seducing spirit?
Drinking alcohol.
Oh yeah, nothing wrong with a nip or two. Well, there isn't for that, but you know how that goes? Before long, it's more than that. Isn't it?
There's so many lies, like, I don't know, but today a lot of people believe that abortion is okay.
Right, okay, there you go.
And it's a seducing spirit, because you can, if you're in the world, you can create a pretty good argument in the sense for it.
That's right.
But it's very clear in Scripture that it's not correct.
Yeah, because...
But it's a big lie, but a lot of people fall into it.
Yeah, because there's a sound to it that people can come up with a rationale. Well, it's the woman's right to choose. And that's become a big mantra, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Woman's right to... Who wants to argue against a woman having the right over their own body? You don't really want to do that. But you know, there are lines that are drawn in the sand, and it's not by some person's personal thing. It's what we have to go by this, don't we?
Yes.
And so it sounds good. It seduces people. Well, a woman has a right to... Yeah, well, that's... You know, and there's some half-truth to that, and people open up to a seducing spirit. Right?
How about the whole homosexual, lesbian, and everything else in between? A lot, what I hear all the time now, it's, well, whatever is good for you is good for you, or something
right.
like that. And
right.
people buy it all over the place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it affects our families, it's all around us.
Yes.
Even, you know, with all the rationale, you can, if you don't know the Word of God good, you can almost buy into it.
Yeah. You can.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you this. This is so important for us right now. Because the world is headed on a deep, deep dive down into being ready for this world system that is dark and black. But it's not people looking at it wouldn't recognize it because it has some rationality to it. It has some kind of cosmopolitan acceptance that's all around it, and it's packaged in such a way that it doesn't look downright black and dark and rotten and evil. And this is what we have to be careful about. Yeah, what's this?
The Spirit's going after our youth, too, or
absolutely.
Our teens. I just witnessed last night, we just went to Journey to the North Pole, which is a volunteer activity we do for NHS. And it was interesting because all of a sudden I'm overhearing these high school students talk about how, well, we're lying to these kids, and isn't lying a sin, you know? And this is coming from... There was a student there whose moms, he has two moms, and then there's a Catholic girl who's like, well, you know, some strict Catholics believe. So, you know, she's trying to share her beliefs but not be ostracized, and so they'll still listen to her. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to see that dynamic. And then they love to say, but God made me that way. And it's like, ugh. You know, because
that's a good seducing spirit that people have opened up to.
Yeah, that is a big one. But it just, so my heart went out because, you know, you could see her. And I was so proud of her for not shrinking back. Because, you know, she was being very respectful, but just like, well, you know, some strict Christians believe that's lying to your kids. But, you know, I'm not sure what I believe, but you're, you know I believe in Jesus is what she.
Yes.
So it just. It's an interesting dynamic that they have to do because they know they're being taught that, you know, the Word is the Word and that's the truth and you need to share the truth.
Yes.
But when you're up against all those things.
It does. It becomes almost an overwhelming thing, especially for younger people. So, you know, this Jesus says that really the dominant characteristic of the time before his second coming, that's what we're looking for. The dominant thing that's going to happen, he says in Matthew 24, numbers of times, don't be deceived. It isn't, it's not just about one little thing. It's not only about a religious thing. It's about don't be deceived by anything because you know, the culture war, the social and political aspect of our lives, we can be deceived in everything. And every one of those things, whether it's the culture war and accepting some of these changes in morals, or what's going on in the political realm, to realize these all have effect on you and I. And that little child over there, and especially her parents, but all of us, we don't want to see her.
Oh, God.
You know what? I'm just going to stop. We do not want her to grow up in a society where it is tyrannical. Well, that's political. We don't want her to grow up in a society where the culture wars have turned right around, and now all of these things that we've been talking about are okay, and throw your hands up in the air. Oh, well, that's just the way it is, and that's how it. No, we need to resist this. Joe, you want to say something?
Yeah, but there's preachers that are on the TV that will actually tell you if it feels good, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and there's our biggest problem, because we lose people because they look at these people and they figure, oh, these are true Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, we're losing them. And when you try to explain to them that that's not true,
yeah,
they look at you like, well, why would I not want to do what I'm doing? You know? So, I mean, it is a terrible thing. We need to keep watching that.
Yeah. And we need to resist this, and we need in the right kind of way teach our children what is really true according to the Word of God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they need to know the difference between the Word of God and what's in the world.
Yes.
Because you can train your child,
yeah,
but then when they get into schools and stuff, and then the teachers start saying, oh, you don't have to listen to your parents, so your parents are wrong.
Right.
They start teaching them worldly things,
yes,
and not godly things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like, they, you know, Danny doesn't want his little girl to grow, for them to do everything they can to train her up in the way she should go,
yeah,
and then have the world destroy her.
Right.
Right.
Because of the lies.
That's right.
And we have to, I mean, to pray and pray and pray for the good Lord to protect these kids, because it's only getting worse.
Yeah, it's only getting worse, and that means that the resistance to godliness and holiness and living a life of love and peace, it's getting pressed on. And if you and I want to hold that back, then we need to resist that. We need to be saying things to our representatives. We need to be not allowing the seducing thoughts, the temptations to take our own minds and just go anywhere we want to in that regard either. Right? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
There has to be resistance here. If there's not the resistance, then the enemy comes in ahead of time. You know, there's going to be a time where there's going to be an antichrist, right?
Yes.
And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures about this. There's going to come that time where that's going to happen. Did you want to say?
Yeah, just talking about resistance. There was a girl in a high school in New York who actually fought the school because the school said you cannot have a Christian organization on school grounds.
Yeah.
She ended up fighting the school. The state says that the new, whatever it's called, allows that. Well, the principal of the school says, I don't want it.
Yeah.
So now they're going to court. But she's resisting it. She's not letting it go.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do.
Yeah. In the right ways. I'm not saying that I'll be poopy people. But, alright, so I want to get down through this so that I hit on these points, because I really feel that these are very important for us. So, there's these seducing spirits, there's doctrines of demons. You don't have to turn to it. Matthew 15:9 says this, that in vain are they worshiping me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Alright? So you have doctrines of demons, but you also have commandments of men. It's man taking a hold of what the scripture is and turning it into something else. It's their commandments, it's not God's commandments. It's, you know, I'm sure a number of us have been in church groups where the men aren't allowed to have beards, or women had to have really long skirts, or there was some kind of legalistic approach to what that church was all about. These are not what's in the scripture. This is what man has taken and applied to a set of rules for a church. Right? Right? You understand? So there's these commandments of men that command, and it's usually in a legalistic kind of way. Or it's it's just a free-for-all. You can go crazy both sides of that. Hebrews 13:9 says this: don't be carried away about with different
and strange doctrines. For it's good that the heart be established by grace, not with exotic foods, which have not benefited those who have been occupied therein. Now, we haven't really much at all have experienced kooky Christianity. Maybe you've seen it some places, but you know there are people that have some very, very strange ideas about Jesus and the church. And I'm not going to get into any of that right now. But there's really kooky things out there. And people that want to get into that and play around with the scriptures and come up with these cute little ideas about how to get to a place they want to get to. It says it doesn't benefit them. It doesn't benefit anybody. Right. So these are things that the Spirit expressly talks about, especially at the end. There's a lot of deception, and we have to be able to recognize it first for what it is, and then resist it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting the emphasis of the Spirit here in terms of what He's saying to us today? Okay, so I was talking about this Antichrist, and that's eventually going to come because Satan wants his kingdom. He doesn't want the Lord's kingdom. He knows he's going to lose eventually, but that's not stopping him. It's not stopping him at all. Kind of reminds me of. Kind of reminds me of the Democrats who are trying to impeach Trump, and nothing's working for them, but they're going to keep going. It amazes me. So you can see with that the very picture of where Satan is.
Yeah.
Satan knows his time is going to come to an end, but that doesn't matter. He's going to try to do whatever he can to destroy any of us. Okay? So keep that in mind. I know I probably shouldn't have gotten.
But if he's willing to destroy us in that manner, why are we not stepping up and doing what we're supposed to do?
That's right.
Push it.
Which is resisting.
Yeah.
And I think this is what the Lord is.
And when you were talking about that, I was thinking we need to pray for more wisdom.
Yes.
We've got to pray for more wisdom. Then we can combat that stuff.
Because we'll recognize what is wrong.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
That's a seducing spirit right there, is to back off. You know?
Yeah.
Because it's more comfortable for
us. Yes, it's
more
comfortable.
Nobody wants to stand up and say, well, you know, I think this, you know. Like, and really, when people do that, they say, I think this. But really what they need to do is just say, like, listen, this is what the Bible says. This is, you know, it's not my thought. It's God's thought, which is a lot of times different than my thought.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for that.
I'm going to just very quickly go down through some scriptures. You can write them down, look at them later. Here's what it says. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, it says, the Antichrist will come. Oh, it's going to happen. There's going to be this because Satan wants to give his power to a man to rule the world. He wants to do that. So that's going to happen. That means that at some point in time, something's going to happen where no matter what the resistance is, it's going to happen. It's just going to happen anyway. But in the meantime, why would we want that to happen before? We don't know when this is going to take place, do we?
No.
If we just say, oh, well, this Antichrist comes along, then that means the Lord's coming back, so let's hope that the Antichrist comes along. Does anybody here want to do that? No.
No.
I hope not.
And how many souls are going to get lost?
That's right.
During that time,
yes.
Because everybody's backed down. So it's really, all of a sudden, it's not all about us. It's about the souls that are lost. And if you back down, then they're gonna stay lost, and he's gonna devour them, and then they'll never enter the kingdom.
Yes. And if we open up to the tyranny of, I'll just go down through these scriptures. So the Antichrist will come, and even now there are many Antichrists.
Yeah.
So. There's the Antichrist, but there are people that are filled with evil intent, self-serving to a tremendous degree, and they're even called Antichrists because they're displaying that same kind of self, everything about self, right? And this is. So, and this is already was in the world back at the time of the Apostle John. The Antichrist is going to come, but you know, there's already Antichrists in the world, and many of them are in power today in many places around the world. So, here's some things about the Antichrist. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, if you're writing things down. 1 John 2, 22. Who is the liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Messiah? That liar is the Antichrist. Who says, Jesus isn't the Messiah. Jesus isn't the Christ. Here's something else. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. Many deceivers are in the world who do not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. People that say that Jesus didn't come in the flesh the first time, nor is he going to come in the flesh a second time. Some people agree that he came in the flesh the first time, but they say, well, no, it's not going to, Jesus isn't coming back. He's going to have a spiritual, his spirit's going to awaken in the church, and his second coming is going to be a spiritual coming. He's not himself physically coming back. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, a lot of people don't believe he rose from the dead.
Yeah, and then you have that.
As a person, you got to believe he rose from the dead, don't you?
Yeah. That's all wrapped up in that, isn't it? It's important for us to realize that he died for our sins, and the thing that shows that he conquered the grave was the fact that he rose from the dead.
Right.
And then 1 John chapter 4. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. He is an antichrist. And there's all of that. So there's the spirit of Antichrist. It's against, the word anti means against Christ. Okay? Opposite of Christ. Instead of Christ. In place of Christ. That's what that anti means. And the Greek word is pseudo Christos. Pseudo. Right? Fake. Fake Christ. So, and I think we all know that you look at in the book of Revelation, it says that all power and authority was given to this Antichrist over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And verse 2 of Revelation 13 says that Satan himself that gives this Antichrist his power because he wants a kingdom. He doesn't want our kingdom. He doesn't want the kingdom of Christ. He wants to do away with us. Daniel 7, verse 23 says that there will be a kingdom that will be different than all the rest, and it will devour the whole earth and tread it down and break it in pieces. This is what's up ahead. This is what's going to happen to the world. Because many people are going to turn away from God, fall away from the faith, or never have come to the faith, and they're going to be totally deceived and open to the deceiving spirits, the lying spirits, the working of these miracles that are going to try to prove that the Antichrist is some god. And it says the whole world just follows after the beast, follows after that Antichrist. So that's going to happen, and we need to resist it while we're here, don't we? So, this Antichrist, the whole world is going to be under the power of the Antichrist? One world? A one world government? Really? The whole world under government? One government? Is there anything that shows us we're heading in that direction? Can you give me an example? What's something that you know? What's tending to bring half people? See, because the enemy is trying to prepare the world for his kingdom, for his own kingdom. And so he's going to do it in a very subtle, smooth-talking way. It's going to sound good. I'm going to give you an example of that in just a minute. What's something?
Well, how about the European Union?
You got the European Union. Here's a whole bunch of couple nations that have dropped all their borders, and they're all going to be one big nation. What? Anything else?
Currency. I mean, they're always working with currency to get it all under one roof.
Yeah, there's a thing called the World Bank.
Right?
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. How about the United Nations? There's these are things that are preparatory for the enemy to get into the minds of people that this is a good thing.
How about technology?
You got technology. You got the technology. Yes. You have something in particular in mind?
Well, I was just thinking when we were in Texas, our flight was canceled, so we had to reschedule. And to get to the hotel from the airport, we had to do an Uber. And you got to have an app on your phone, and they tell you everything that's going to happen. And the guy's going to show up in 2 minutes, and they show you on the phone where he is, and he gets to, I mean, it's like, I like to have a little control over what I'm doing.
And some, a little bit of privacy. This goes to one of my points here, is that Satan is a tyrant. He seduces people into thinking that, hey, come to me, you can do as you please. But he grabs a hold of you, and he's a tyrant.
It's like the mafia.
Yeah. A tyrant.
Mafia, Joe, mafia, you know that.
Tyranny.
They don't let you go.
So
it says in the end times that there'll be information. There'll be an information explosion, and just look at Google.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Everything's the way it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, on the surface, all of this looks good.
Oh yeah. See, surface wise, it's good, and certainly there's some great aspects to it.
Yeah.
But what we have to be careful of is the spirit behind it, where it's actually leading us. As a people, we have to understand this. Okay? I'm going to put this out. Since one world is where the enemy wants to bring us, because he's setting it up for there to be an Antichrist, and we know that he's going to eventually be successful at that. But in the process of this, he's getting people to accept certain things and believe certain things. And you know that it's really our nation that is the biggest stumbling block for a one-world government. Because we don't want that. We have the best constitution in the world. We have the best economy in the world. Why do we want to, dissipate all of that for a one-world thing? It almost sounds Jesus-like. Oh, let's share with what we have and all of that. But there's a lot more to it, and it's seducing and it's smooth talking. Listen to this. What is that? I'm giving you a quote from somebody. What is at stake is more than one small country. It's a big idea. A new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in a common cause. That sounds really nice, doesn't it? To achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom and the rule of law, a world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order. That was in 1991 when that was spoken by the President of the United States. G.W. Bush said that. Now, I'm sure that he was thinking of what he had to say there in all the right terms. But the enemy was working behind the scenes to make this an acceptable thing. Do you see this? And we need to be able to recognize this stuff. So tell me, if he's going to say, the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. Whose rule of law? Who's making the law?
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
We have a particular idea in mind, but that isn't what they're talking about. So, I have all kinds of stuff down here. What the enemy's doing, I want us to be able to recognize this, though. What is the big push these days about no borders, open borders? What's that all about? It's about having no separate countries, one big world order. That's what it's about. That's what everybody's pushing for right now. The people that want this world order, these antichrists that are going to be accepting of the antichrist, this is what they want. It's a global elite that are antichrist, and they are looking to establish a new world order. It's a one world government. Government of Satan. And we need to recognize that. And what better way to prepare for that than to say, countries don't need borders. What do we need borders for? Why do we need to enforce our borders? And people that, let's bring them all in. We'll just love everybody. And, everything will be just, it has this partial thing that's nice about it. But there's a naive part of that that people do not realize. Because people don't realize that the enemy has a plan for his government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And where in the Word does it say that? So that we have something in the Word that we can base that on. That there's going to be a one world government.
Oh, that's in Revelation 13. You can look. That's where I was taking all those from. I didn't give you all the scriptures, but Revelation 13, Daniel chapter 7. Those are two of the places. There's other places, but that you'll be able to find that. One world, put in one world government, and you're going to find it.
Google it. You'll be all set.
Yeah, you'll be all set.
It starts with inclusion and tolerance.
Yes. Yeah. And the whole thing with, that's why nationalism is a dirty word these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nationalism.
Mm-hmm.
That's racism.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Okay? They want to make it a dirty word so that everything is all consuming. Let's have this one world government because things will be a lot better then. The universal aspirations of mankind. Big flowery words, but it's going to take the people down the wrong path. You and I need to know that so we can resist it in our own minds and also be able to speak to other Christians who might get snookered by that. And then anybody else.
Amen.
If we have the lack of knowledge destroys people. If we don't realize this is going on. Yeah.
So we're the church. We have the truth, the keys. If we don't say it, who's going to say it?
That's right.
Exactly. And it's like Diane said, I hope that we all pray, you know, Lord, give me wisdom. We think all these political things and economic things and financial things and all this stuff that's going on is way over my head. What can I... You and I are citizens of the King.
That's it.
We're here to resist. We're here to be the salt of the earth, aren't we?
Yes. You know, Malcolm, we're accountable.
Yeah, we're accountable.
We don't even realize how accountable we are.
Yeah. And so, you know, it'd be great to have that just kind of awake to that fact. You know, Diane, it's really true.
Yes.
So, you know, we got to be these people. So here we are, we're talking about the advent of the Lord, and we're talking about His first coming, and Him being a baby in a manger, all wonderful, it's good to reflect back on, but we're in this in-between time before the Lord comes back again, and this whole in-between time is fraught with aggression and oppression and coming against the things, the good things of God, and we have to be the people that stand there and say, no, I'm resisting this. No, that isn't the right way for us, for our nation to go. This is what, and of course our voting is going to make a big difference too, as we go down through the next numbers of years too. So this is all really important for us. It's all part of the spiritual mix of things, because, you know, if we're to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, well, what does that mean? Is that just some flowery, nebulous thing? Oh, yeah, I'm seeking the kingdom. How's that done? What? You know, we have to be prepared for it. We need to resist the enemy. We need, it requires action. And that action is going to be in prayers. That action is going to be in speaking to other people about the things that are right. Right? In the world. Reggie, you want to say something?
I just say, like, people don't realize, like, you know, that when you say one world government and stuff like that, you know, if Jesus was going to be the head of that would be beautiful.
That would be great.
But that's not what they're talking about. What they're talking about is having a one world government and then people being in charge of that. And if you look at the leaders of just this country alone, how bad things could be.
Yes.
For as far as decision making, you're giving them all power. If you gave the leaders all power over the world, boy, I'll tell you what, you better hope that the person in charge is a lot better person.
Is a nice person.
Because it is going to be nice and peaceful, I can tell you that.
Well, I'm going to close with this particular scripture. It's a wonderful scripture. It gives us a lot of hope and joy. This is Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So at the end of all of this, though there is this Antichrist thing for about 7 years, 7 years, whatever it's going to be, 3.5 years really, then there's going to come an end to that too. And all through this time, until the Lord takes us, whenever that's going to be, then we need to be those that resist evil, resist that kingdom of tyrannical thought, that kingdom that is against Jesus, and then we're going to be in a much better place. Amen.
Amen.
We don't want a tyrannical thing to happen to us 10 years ahead of time,
right?
And have to live through that, and then have to go through all this other stuff. Let's be on top of things for the sake of our kids, right? Amen. Lord, we thank You for who You are. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we exalt You and we thank You. And Lord, I just pray that the essence of what You want to give to people here today would be nestled right in their hearts and their minds. And Lord, that they would be, and I would be, people of action in it.
And we thank you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I'm going to close with this. This is a...